Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In the late 1970s and early 80s, Thatcher's England was a time of great unrest and mistrust. The country was rocked by strikes, demonstrations, and riots. It was also a time of burgeoning music, fashion, and art, with a punk movement inspiring international change. It was into this world that Isaac Julian came of age in London's East End. As an artist and filmmaker, he embraced three separate movements: the Afro-Caribbean scene, London's gay nightlife, and the largely white progressive left. His films were seminal works in the experimental queer cinema, which incorporated themes of sex, politics, and interracial relations and relationships. Over the decades to follow, his work shifted from film to art. From young soul rebel to international art star, Julian's moving image installations can now be seen in Europe, Asia, and around the world. Recently, two of his works ran at the Royal Ontario Museum, and another's at the MoMA in New York, and two of his earliest films are screening at Toronto's Images Festival. He's artist in residence at OCAD University, the Ontario College of Art and Design, where he is mentoring students who will follow him to London. I'm very pleased to have Isaac Julian here in studio to talk with me, along with Chun Yuling. Chun Yuling, who's one of those students, and she's an integrated media artist focusing on video installations, animation, and performance art. So here we have them both, and they're going to tell me more about their art. Thanks so much for coming. Hi, Isaac.
Hi.
And hi, Yuling.
Hi.
It's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
So, Isaac, you were a student at St. Martin's in 1980, which is a time of huge political changes and a big art scene. Right now, 35 years later, you're at another art school, OCAD University. So can you talk about what you find different and what you find the same about those two periods and experiences in an art school?
Well, I think the wonderful thing about being at OCAD is that one of the things that I remember very strongly, which was very instrumental in terms of the work that I make today, was the relationship between the artist and teacher. And one of the primary experiences for me, which was very instructional for making work, was the crit. And I'm still glad that's a tradition that continues today, which I was involved in yesterday when I was teaching. And it was wonderful to see the OCAT students' work and to be able to have this same correspondence, which is a very, I think, important sort of intergenerational relationship between older artists and younger artists. And it's very important, this idea of developing a criticality and reflection on the work that you make. How you have those conversations is central to the betterment of work, I would say, of the young artists, and sometimes vice versa.
I think it's really helpful, like, that I can be in this class with Isaac, because I think, like, I learned a lot through the dialogue during the critique, and about, like, subjectivity and different art series.
So, Isaac, as a filmmaker, the content of your films, like Looking for Langston and Young Soul Rebels, could be viewed on any platform, in a movie theater, on TV, and now, like, on an iPad or on your telephone. But your content, in those days, your content could cross from medium to medium without any major change. But with your artwork, which is often like a triptych projected on with moving images on more than one screen, often connected by metal structures or projected against walls, the films can't be viewed separately from the artwork. The medium becomes part of the message itself. So can you talk about your shift from filmmaker to artist and the changes it brought to your work with moving images? It's a big question.
Wow, it's a big question. But I think one of the main sort of aspects that's really centrally important to the developments in my own work is the way that technologies have inflected on my practice as an artist and the way in which it has inflected on the aesthetics of the way I might present works or make works. And so in the case of film and analog technologies, of course, I learned to make films through shooting on 16mm film, Super 8 film, and editing those on a steam back. And that activity was very important in terms of my aesthetic development. But at the time, when I was making films as an art student, there was the beginning of video technology, and there's also the explosion of the rock promo. And in a way, the two things came together in popular culture between making experimental films and how those were forms which were kind of explored in popular culture of music video. And I really wanted to bring these things together. And also there was a divide between video artists and experimental filmmakers. And in my work, I wanted to bring together these two aesthetics. And I did in a work like Territories, for example, where it was shot on video, shot on Super 8 film. I kind of got those two mediums and put them back onto 16mm film. So there's a kind of creolization of these different forms. And guess what happened to me really in terms of the later period is really thinking about that sense of experimentation and in a way in the more classical film area that kind of dissipated. And I felt that the innovations began again in a gallery art context, and that was to do with what was possible with digital technology. The fact with multiple screen works, they only became possible really because of the way in which computerization increased synchronization, and you could bring this notion of expanded cinema of multiple screens into the gallery and really effectively pull it off aesthetically as an experience. And it became very attractive. It became addictive, in fact, being able to make works with multiple screens. It was just very exciting the way it would, in a way, produce this reaction with audiences. But, of course, you can't see multiple screen works in a cinema. And you can view them on an iPhone, but it's not the same thing as seeing them in the flesh.
Okay. And with your work in moving images in film, do you work with multiple screens? Or have you done?
No, I haven't done lots of multiple screen, and I mainly do a single channel. And that's why I felt like this is a really good opportunity to like learn this multiple screen in the gallery and how that free up the narrative.
So getting back to the idea of the camera, London is often described as the most heavily surveilled city in the world with video cameras on every single building, everywhere you go.
Yes.
And added to that now, everyone carries a phone with a camera in it as well. So it's sort of a mass surveillance, but also democratization of making films. So can you tell me, in modern day London, what changes has been brought mentally to your visual gaze when making a film, if any change?
Well, I think in a way we're very distracted spectators these days. And I think that's connected to the new technologies and the role that they play in our subjectivities and our everyday uses of them as devices. So perhaps even before we look with our eyes, we might want to take a selfie of ourselves in front of an artwork, as is the case that I've witnessed at the ROM when people go to see my work. And I think this is connected to the fact that, in a way, we tend to look now with electronic eyes, and the question of how we look becomes something which is instrumentalized through the new technologies. And this has created the possibility for us to learn a lot more about what's going on in the world. But then at the same time, I think it has created a certain way of looking that's disrupted. And I think that is a kind of logic that's also presented within the multiple screen works.
Much of your work, including Western Union Small Boats, concern willing and unwilling migrant populations. And you personally are the most of us are the descendant of migrants yourself. Your parents were originally from St. Lucia. And, of course, if you go back far enough, the Caribbean was populated by the most unwilling of all migrants, slavery. So could you talk about your own personal experience encountering migration and how it influences your work?
Well, I think because I'm someone who comes from a family where basically the question of migration is very central to it, I think the quest for a better life and people who want to create a better life for themselves through the question of movement, which sometimes is necessary through war, through famine, but also just through the idea of economic improvement, is something that I very much identify with. And so these narratives are something which I think in my work I've been working through, and in a sense, work like Western Union Small Birds was made in 2007, 10 years ago, before it became international media attention. Although it looks like a work that was made last year. It
looks like a work that was made last week, even.
Precisely. And so I think these questions, in a way, don't go away. But part of the inspiration for making a work like 10,000 Waves, which is shot in China, where it looks at the Morecambe Bay tragedy when 23 Chinese cockleshell pickers from the Fujian province lost their lives due to the way that the currents worked when they were picking for cockleshells in the North England. It focused on a real tragedy and brought to my attention the lengths that people will go to create a better life for themselves. And so, in a way, in my work, what I'm trying to do is to try to look at the way in which these moments are very important for us to think about differently from the way they are capitalized on by the dominant media. So Brexit on the one hand, Trump on the other. And I try to make a poetic place for people to empathize with these experiences, which I don't think we get from the dominant media.
In your early work, you yourself write that you were influenced by three very different streams: black soulboy culture, white activist culture, and gay disco culture. So thinking of your work now, which of these, if any, still plays a role in how you envision your art? Of course, not the movements of those period, but how they exist now in your mind and in your work. Politics, queer voices, and black experience.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the things I've been working on recently is a film called Looking for Langston, which I made in 1989.
Yes.
And in a way, it's an exhibition archival project which will come to fruition next May when the exhibition is a photographic show shown at the Victoria Mirror Gallery in London. And in a way, you can say there's been a huge difference between 1989 and 2017, where Moonlight won, of course, the award.
Best Picture.
For Best Picture, utilizing the themes of black and gayness, as it were, for its story. And so I think there's a way in which these themes are really still very important in my work. And I would say that they are the catalyst to making works today. But perhaps, for example, in a work like Playtime and another work called Capital, there's a return to some of these earlier questions in my work, but posed in a slightly different language. In Playtime, it's a work that looks at questions of labor and capital and how the movement of that takes place across the globe by focusing on three different cities: Reykjavik, where the crash completely stopped capital in its tracks; Dubai, a city that's grown out of the desert through capital and oil; and then London, which has been transformed by the deregulation of the banks. So in a way, these questions still are very important to me in works like these.
Where is Playtime?
Playtime is currently shown in Seoul in South Korea. Huh.
Excellent. And finally, we just have a bit of time left, but I wonder if you could describe one of the pieces you're working on right now, Yuling.
So I'm working on a piece for the I6 class. It's about it's about my migration between China and Canada. And I'm using this poppy flower as a as kind of like an agent to connect four chapters of my stories.
It's a fantastic piece.
Poppy flower, including the Canadian use of the poppy, or?
Oh, no, it's more like a reference towards the
Opium?
Yeah, wars? Opium, yeah.
Ah, very interesting. No, I look forward to seeing that one. Thank you so much for talking with me. Yuling Chun is a student at OCAD University, where Isaac Julian is artist in residence. He's giving a talk today at the Innes College at 4 p.m., and his early films, including Who Killed Colin Roach, can be seen at Toronto's Images Festival in April. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.